Good day, nerds, and welcome to episode 157 of the Nerd Cantina Show. It is your host, Steve. I'm here again with Sean from don'tfeedthewolf.com. Ken is still on hiatus, roaming the U.S. in his RV. We're going to bring you your weekly nerd news with some rescheduling and entertainment, more hacking in the crypto world and throughout, and some other space news. With that all said, we got a big show, and let's get to it. No theme song, and let's just ride. So first off, we got a few release dates and some rescheduling going on in the entertainment section. We'll start off with a movie that I know me and Sean are greatly anticipating, and that is Dune. Yeah. Why don't you give us the lowdown on what's going on with that, Sean?
So it's gotten pushed back again, you know, and it's thankfully it's not like it's getting pushed back another year or anything. It's going to be October 22nd now is the date. I think originally it was the first, and now the first will be that something in Newark, the Many Saints of Newark, which is the Sopranos kind of prequel show. But yeah, so
I don't understand the shuffling of this again. Like, there's got to be some marketing meetings where they're just really trying to optimize these other movies. Like, has anybody talked about this Sopranos movie? I haven't heard anybody really geeking up for this thing. Everybody's been waiting for Dune for the last year.
Yes, like, I gotta say, this gotta be the most anticipated film.
Why movie companies don't like. It's like they don't care about the frustration of the viewer that actually wants to go see this movie. It's kind of like if your parents promising you something, you know, like, yeah, we're going to go to Disney World. We're going to go next weekend. And then Wednesday, Thursday comes along. No, it's going to rain this weekend. We're going to go next weekend. And you're just like, man, I want to go to Disney. I'm going to go to Disney no matter when you take me. But like, this is fucking torture. Like, Just get it over with. Let's release. Like, this movie's been in the can for over a year. Like at this point, you have no excuses. Pandemic's damn near over. Movie theaters are being flooded. Every week a big release comes out and breaks the pandemic record. You had A Quiet Place 2 come out at like 40 something million. Then you just had the ninth fucking Fast and Furious movie release with like 70 million. You know, to break that. And like, again, I don't know who you people are.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's this movie? We don't know who, but they do exist.
But you must be family, because that's what it's all about, I guess. So they went and saw it, the $70 million on a pan, you know, when people are still afraid to go out. So I just don't know what, you know, like what they benefit from doing this other than frustration.
Yeah, I'd say the only thing too that's, you know, kind of weird to me is that it's going to be now releasing the same weekend as The French Connection, which is a Wes Anderson film. I'm a huge Wes Anderson fan. And it just seems weird to me to have two big movies like that. I mean, Wes Anderson, you know, he's kind of like a Quentin Tarantino, but not, you know, obviously. But I just mean he's such a big name that you only get a release from him every 2-3 years, whatever it is, you know. So it's highly anticipated. So it's like, that's going to be a big anticipated movie. And then also Dune and at the same weekend. And, you know, it's all about that.
Kind of like flex from HBO and Warner Brothers. Like,
yeah, because I feel like if anybody, it's going to hurt The French Connection. It's not going to hurt Dune. And it's just kind of like, that sucks for them, you know, have to follow up that same weekend. But yeah, it is what it is. And I maybe because of everything being pushed back and delayed and all this other things going on, I mean, space is tight. And you know, I heard for a while that the Sopranos thing was being worked on. I had no idea that it was already done and being released this soon. So
it's one of the articles where you see it and you're like, oh, that's cool, I guess, and then you never think about it again and it just comes out and you're like, oh yeah, they were making this, right?
Yeah. And I honestly think almost seems like from the article, like it's almost this film's fault in a sense. Like they wanted to put that film in the spot where Dune was, and then they ended up moving Dune around. So it was like I think maybe it was to kind of just to fit this film in, and Dune got, you know, pushed around. Which is
like,
weird.
When I see rescheduling, like, I always think they're going to move it up, you know, because the money's coming in. We're going maskless. We got more people in the theaters. I mean, fucking baseball stadiums got 40,000 people in them. Like, we can't all just go to the movies again now, like, for real. So you'd think that, like, their mindset would be like, why are we waiting till the fall and winter when we could, like, what happened to the days of the summer blockbuster? Like, every year from the time I was fucking born till just recently, 4th of July weekend was, like, a major fucking movie release. Like, to tell you the truth, pre-pandemic, motherfucking Top Gun was supposed to come out this weekend. I'm supposed to be strapped to a Dolby seat watching Tom Cruise fucking cheeks get smacked to the back of a goddamn window flying at a fucking F whatever the fuck they're on now. Like, but no, like, everything's just getting pushed back. And really, why couldn't that movie release right now? Why couldn't it? You know,
it's a great question.
To hear them pushing them back is just like, Jesus Christ. Like, We're getting back to normal. You guys should be moving these movies up. They were supposed to come out last year. Move them up.
I know, and I hate to say it too, because I was just thinking, I mean, if it's coming out October 22nd, if you're that far, why not just wait till November for the, you know.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Exactly. Like, that's what I'm I don't want to put it mouth. Out there. But it's just like,
why would you say that out loud, you jagoff?
Like, don't say, but I'm just like thinking, loud. Like, if you're going to be releasing around that schedule, wouldn't you want to release during the time when, you know, people have time off from work and it's going to be a whole big family event and that, so we start getting to the holiday times. And yeah, but yeah, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, let's watch a movie about desert and no water in the fall and winter. Like, why not? Why, like, makes no sense to release it in the summer when everybody's hot and balls is thirsty. Well, other news in entertainment, we have some more, I guess, tentative release dates. I mean, they don't even really give the release date for this, but they're already hyping Boys season 3. They're giving away a few plot points, how it ties into the comics, and they're saying to watch out for it not until 2022. So it's definitely not coming out by the end of this year, they don't think. We were kind of probably hoping for maybe fall release, but it seems like season 3 won't be coming till next year.
Yeah, it's just another thing that probably got delayed thanks to COVID. And there's a couple big shows obviously that we're now on, I feel like everybody's waiting for, is, you know, Witcher, Boys, Peaky Blinders, and all these things are definitely getting pushed.
On Peaky Blinders, I'm actually looking forward to that. I didn't know if they were going to do that again.
Yeah, that's gonna have it's going to be its last season, but it's like quote unquote, because I think they're probably going to maybe do, five seasons in a movie or six seasons in a movie.
Yeah.
But that one's also probably not going to come out till next year as well. So, you know, yeah. It looks like all the good stuff, 2022.
Womp, womp. Yeah. And speaking of 2022, PlayStation releases, again, not a hard date, but a don't get your fucking hopes up date. And says that the VR, the PSVR, won't be coming out till the following holiday season. So when they say holiday season, not this holiday season.
Yeah, not the one that's almost here.
We're talking next holiday season. Yeah, I know. I want to say someone I know went to like Hobby Lobby. Oh, my grandma. My grandma went to like Hobby Lobby this week, and they already have Christmas shit out.
Oh, like, my Lord.
Jesus fucking Christ. It's not even 4th of July yet.
Yeah, it's not even Thanksgiving yet. Like, you got at least wait for those, you know.
Thanksgiving, we got like three holidays before this shit. Like,
yeah,
Labor Day, we got a whole bunch. Like, if I see a candy cane, I'm going ape shit. I'm telling you right now.
One of the cool things, though, I guess from that VR article was the resolution, 4,000 by 2040 or whatever. Make use of eye tracking. There was just a little bit more information tease kind of to get us hyped. But that, other than that, yeah, it's still all very much teaser. You know,
this thing's going to be pretty gangster, like from the looks of it. Like, I'm excited. I'm not getting an Oculus. Because I finally got it. You know, I got the PS5. I skipped the PS4. So I never really got in on that VR movement. And
me too.
I still haven't really dabbled in VR. And since I haven't, I'm just willing to wait till Sony comes out with theirs.
We're in the same boat.
Get my money's worth out of my PS5 because I barely play it. I'm still Team Xbox, but I've been trying to use it a little bit here and there.
We'll get you a little converted with just a couple games, but
man, I played some of the exclusive. I'm playing Ratchet and Clank now. Like I'm getting some use out of it, but still Team Xbox, man. In some other movie news, we have an injury to good old Harrison Ford revising, what is this, the fifth Indiana Jones movie now or the sixth?
The fifth, and it's, yeah. I can't believe they're still getting this guy out there and doing it, you know.
Like, does this dude have an opioid addiction or something? Like, what does he need? Like, has he crashed too many helicopters and he's in helicopter debt or something?
Hopefully
like,
he doesn't need the money. Hopefully he doesn't. Hopefully it's not about that.
Well,
it would be really sad if it is.
Anytime you see him on like these talk shows hyping these movies, he's not excited to do them. Like, he's not like, oh yeah, I just wanted to get out there for the fans. The fans really love the character, so I wanted to do it. And it's like, no, I don't know why they dragged me out of the house. They told me to put on the hat, grab a whip, so I fucking did it. And like, he's like the most miserable son of a bitch when it comes to reprising these roles. Yet he does it. He played.
Do you think because he's older and he's been around for a while? Do you think he's locked in some gangster ass like contract where he's like obligated to do these things, like, and he just can't get out of it? You know, like
I don't know. I think he's just such an old grumpy fuck that he just doesn't want to fight with any of the fans for not doing it.
Yeah,
come on, bro, one more Indiana Jones, and he just did, fine. Is that? Will you leave me alone then? Will you leave me alone? And now he's out there breaking hips. Like, this dude didn't even get hurt in an actual scene. Like, it was rehearsing for a scene. So, like, you know, they weren't going as hard. They were going, you know, probably going a lot lighter rehearsing this fight scene and getting the choreography down. And he still got hurt.
Do you think maybe he agreed to do this with the whole, like, kind of Star Wars clause and, like, they're maybe going to finally kill off Indy? And he's like, all right, I'm going to do this, but this is the last one. I want to make sure everybody knows it's the last one because I want to see, we're going to see me die on screen.
Nah, I'm thinking like Spielberg kidnapped his kids like the cartel or some shit. Like,
he's going to go for a Liam Neeson taken like, type thing.
Like, I just don't like, because I have great memories of the Indiana Jones movies. And as much as I'd like to see another good one, I just don't even want to chance a bad one. Like, yeah. It's like when the boxers keep fighting after their prime, and you're just like, man, I was a really big fan of insert boxer's name here, and they won the heavyweight championship and they did their whole thing, and then they lost it, and you're like, you had a good run champ, and then they fight again, and you're like, oh man, and then they fight again, and you're like, oh, like really, like you shouldn't.
You really
gotta go out there, like, yeah. You're just tarnishing the memory of the, you know, like just throwing the towel, champ. Like,
that's right, a perfect analogy because it's the same thing. It's like you don't want to watch it, but you have to watch it. Because they are, but you're just like, and every time as you do, you're like, oh, why are you doing this to yourself? Why are you putting us through this? Why are you putting all of us through this too?
You know, and every time I see his old ass, like, what are you gonna do? And like, we still fighting Nazis in this motherfucker? Like, is that what we're doing? Like, we still gonna be fighting Nazis?
Hey, the Nazi battle never ends, man. The boys went that route too. I mean, it's still, Nazis are still the villain.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you need to go to villain. You insert Russian, insert Nazi, insert, you know, Chinese dictator, and you win. You know, in other grumpy old man movie news, we have Jim Cameron throwing a fit because he refused to trim not a scene in the Avatar movie, not a line, not something somebody says, but trimming a piece of the set, like the actual background of the movie. And he said, no, fuck that. I want, like, to see all this foliage here that is essential to my fucking vision. You fucking leave it. And they're like, bro, it's like 50 grand to put these flowers here. You can't even see them on screen. I don't give a shit. This is my vision. It's staying in.
Yeah. And it's just, Cameron being Cameron, man, he's quoted as saying, you know, if I want to see it, there are a lot of other people who are going to want to see it, you know, and that's his whole argument.
Well, like, I have an appreciation for directors' visions. Like,
yeah,
some of my favorite movies I've gone back and watched with director's commentary. And like, the one that sticks out most in my mind was when I watched Natural Born Killers with Oliver Stone's commentary. And like, just to hear about how he used like specific colors in scenes, like when they got bit by the rattlesnakes and the green lights were in the pharmaceutical store and they're all just dying trying to find this medicine. You know, he just said, you know, green's a symbol of illness and I wanted to do this. And like, listen to him, like, oh man, no, that makes sense. I guess if I knew more about movies, I might have picked up on that. But it was fun to hear him explain it to me. This, I think, has nothing to do with that. This is
James Cameron wanted to see it, or he just wanted to do it, the challenge of, you know, it's all.
But I feel like he would justify himself by going off on some kind of rant that way. Like, well, you have to understand, like, that flower has like six leaves and that's supposed to symbolize like buttons. Like, shut the fuck up. Like, it's blue people on flying dragons. Like, let's just get to the point.
Cameron's pretty interesting, man. I remember hearing some stuff, you know, a while back too, about making the actors hold their breath for a really long time for these underwater shots. Like,
the guy's not in the abyss. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I mean, he wants things a certain way and he's going to have it done a certain way, even if there's a way that you could do it without having to do it that way. But he's like, no, but we got to do it for, you know, I don't know. I feel like him and Tom Cruise would probably get along.
It's weird because, like, you know, for certain things, I do see, you know, sometimes it's things like that in a director that make a movie great, you know.
Yeah.
But it's hard at this point to justify anything like that these really uber, like, famous directors want to do. Like, are you doing it because you really feel it's integral to the movie and it's your artistic thing, or are you doing it because you're such a mega director that you almost feel an obligation to be that critical of a movie set? Like, well, if I just let them trim that, they're going to think I don't care about my movie and they're going to think I don't care. I didn't have any plans for this. Like, if I have to create a big scene right now just to make it seem like I have this grandiose vision, because if I just let them take things out of my movie, it's like, what do I care? I'm just winging it. I'm just making a shit movie. But if I throw a fucking fit that they want to take this fucking out of my movie, then it seems like I have this huge fucking vision for my movie that they can't fuck with. And I'm the greatest ever to make it.
You never know, dude. There's definitely probably a bunch of little political things like that too. And there's like little battles that they're planning out in their head. And they're like, I'm going to fight really hard with this certain thing because I really don't want them messing with this other thing, and by causing a big deal and fighting them on this, then they're going to probably just brush over this other thing and not even try and argue with me. Yeah, there's definitely, who knows, man, there's got to be some of that for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, like, they just gonna, you know, old people gonna be old people and yeah. crabby as hell. But I think that's all we got for entertainment this week. It was a little more than last week. Things are starting to bubble up with the movie season ramping up, so I think we're going to get a lot more in this section as we go forward and the pandemic being over.
More things are opening to, up
our tech section, which is lately always heavily filled with hacking stories. This week is no different. We have a warning from an article that hackers are starting to put in crypto malware with a lot of free games. I know that one of the games they had is Vice City. There's free downloads for Vice City, but when you click that link and download it, it is going to download malware that is going to steal your moon coins.
Oh yeah. And what's crazy is Monero was one of the big cryptocurrencies they were talking about, and that's one that you know, the Fed has this kind of like this like hit list out there for saying if anybody can figure out how to crack it, we'll reward them with this much. Like, that's one of the last true kind of privacy coins. And it's, you know, you can't it's a coin you can't get on a lot of the big crypto. It's, you know, you're not going to get Monero on a Coinbase or any of the big exchanges that, you know, it's one of those hard to find. So it's interesting that that's one of the ones that's being targeted and harvested. Apparently more than 2 million of that one.
Yeah, I mean, they're essentially going to take what they can take. Some coder found a way to get into that. And what's weird is, like you said, if it's such an obscure token to actually buy, then how are they targeting? Like, not only do you have to own that token, but you have to download this game. So like you're the pool of people that you could take advantage of can't be that large, right? Like,
but maybe that's it. It's just, maybe that's exactly the pool of people they're going after. Those people who are all big about privacy or whatever are probably also still in the old pirating days. And they said
that they're getting about 800 cases a day of people downloading these games. Yeah. Like, that's a lot. Like, so you figure if you know, out of 1,000 people a day, if you get one or two people crypto wallets out of you know, a week, I guess, man, like, I don't know.
You just
cast out a wide net, and whatever comes into it, I guess, when you're a hacker.
One of the last little interesting parts about it was they said that the most concerning aspect of the malware is that once installed, it protects itself from Windows updates and security software by uninstalling the programs that run them. So, yeah, this is definitely a pretty badass little bug.
Yeah, and we also have another weird story of a bug with Western Digital hard drives just being wiped for Western Digital can explain no apparent fucking reason. These are hard drives that you don't just hook up your USB to it and is just tethered to your computer. You actually connect it to through an Ethernet cord. So I guess in some way the hard drive has a direct connection to the online network. So I'm assuming that it just, somebody found a way to backdoor into these things. And like, I get it if you're a hacker and you want to go in and see what somebody's got on their hard drive, maybe some nudes of their ex-girlfriend or their wife, or you know what I mean? Like God only knows what you're looking for, but to just go and delete someone's shit, like, it's savage.
Yeah, apparently you can factory restore the drive without any permission granted from the end user, which they were saying in the article, some of these 2 terabyte hard drives that were nearly full. Like, that's a lot to be messing with.
That's a lot of fucking pictures of your ex's butthole to delete. You know, like, what? I just don't like this. Is like, the chaos hackers are like the worst ones, because like, I can understand crime of like necessity or of greed. Like, I can understand that. I can't understand how somebody just gets off wiping someone's hard drive. And like, they never,
some people just like to watch the world burn, man.
Yeah, they never even get to see like the end result. Like, it's not like they have a dash cam of the dude's room, like when he realizes all his shit's gone and like you can see this dude's anguish and everything. It's like, no, you hit delete and you walk away, and then you have this like masturbatory fantasy of like trolling and ruining this dude's life. And who knows if a lot of these people even cared, you know what I mean? Like,
if
one of my hard drives, you're gonna get like house music torrents from 2013. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I was just thinking, man, what if it was like a freaking artist though, or somebody who had like, you know, a bunch of their artwork they were working on, you know, through Photoshop, whatever, or a lot of something like that, like just stuff that, man, you delete that, well, and I'm then sure they have no backups.
Somebody's got
like
some, you know, important documents deleted. Yeah, you know, for sure.
That would be heartbreaking.
And that's what I just don't understand is like, you get no benefit other than like knowing that you're a dick.
Yeah,
like you get no benefit. It's like the dude that you play video games with, that, you know, on Halo, it's like you 4-on-4 and 3 people are just running around trying to kill people, and there's just one dude doing circles and jumping off the edge the entire game. Like, what? Like, what are you doing, bro? Like, and they just think it's hilarious. They just think it's hilarious to fuck up your night. I just, to me, those are just the worst hackers on the fucking planet. I hate you people.
I will say one last thing too, was in that article, it said that this was 2019, since 2019, that's when this bug was like first noticed or discovered, or this little thing, and they did nothing to
they found it and they're like, let's hope nobody uses that, huh?
Yeah. And I'm really shocked is who's admitting that, who came forward and been like, oh, by the way, we told them about that since 2019. Like, you know, that's like some like probably lower tier employee that was telling their boss over and over again, they never listened, so like, fuck you, I'm gonna go tell the press, like,
yeah,
that we were on top of it and you just didn't care.
Yeah, no love shown.
Yeah.
Well, in some other weird tech news, Facebook has been probed and questioned about the Pentagon creating fake profiles on Facebook to do undercover work and things like that. And Facebook is really trying to be mums about their whole involvement with this, which is pretty scary to me. This is like one of those things that I constantly worry about. You know, it's basically the Facebook's letting the Pentagon catfish the entire country. And yeah, I don't know. It doesn't sit right with me.
Yeah. What's crazy is that other countries have done this and we've talked about this, and Facebook's actively gotten rid of those groups and those accounts when they find them. But then when it comes to our own government and doing these kind of things, they're less likely to be like, you know, Yeah, we're actively trying to stop them or whatever. I don't know what's going on. Like, maybe that's what lets Facebook, that's kind of like the whole, I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to piss them off because they let us do what we're doing with your guys' data.
It's a lot of like social engineering and stuff too that we get. So I know I've read stories and heard of stories where, you know, you hear about a terrorist plot being thwarted, and you think like in your head, when you just hear that, you're like, oh, somebody was planning on doing something, you know, dirty, and the FBI stopped it. But then when you actually read the case and you look at the details, a lot of times it's these FBI agents posing as dissidents and posing as terrorists, finding some, you know, lesser intelligent, impressionable kid and talking them into possibly helping them do a terrorist act. So they're acting like the main terrorists. They're looking for help. And if this kid insinuates in any way, shape, or form that he may help them, they lock this dude up and they write a big article about how they thwarted some terrorist plot and they got this terrorist. And really it's just some poor, you know, lesser intelligent, yeah, you know, kid that was just a little misguided and was coerced into agreeing to something that they would have never done on their own in the first place.
It's really fucked up, man. Yeah. You know,
you have the Pentagon going on Facebook and God only knows who they're posing as trying to, you know, it's entrapment. It's a form of entrapment, you know, and is that really how our criminal system or our justice system is supposed to work? Are we supposed to catch criminals? Are we supposed to influence people into becoming criminals so we can catch them preemptively?
And it's so like, it talks about how, like, if this person, you're going to create like a fake person and you have like a fake birthplace and fake home address, you need to also have a bunch of fake friends and fake people around that. So they create these whole fake networks to keep a cover of maybe like, you know, one or multiple covers maybe that they're using. And it's like, maybe that's how they justify it, is that they're like using these for like agents or whatever, but it's like Homeland Security type crap. Who cares? But it's like, still at the same time, they have these huge networks and they're saying like up to 60,000 fake accounts or something like that.
Yeah,
like insane. Large networks. They could easily be doing who knows what else with it. And maybe, you know,
some crazy thing is like, and like Facebook's just like, they're narcs. Like they're hall monitors. They're whatever, you know, shitty tattletale ass motherfucker that you wanted before. Like they're the ones that when the substitute teacher turns his back and somebody throws a spitball, they're the kid pointing the finger before the teacher even turns back around. Like it was them right there. I just don't know what Facebook gains, you know, because like the Facebook user is their bread and butter, right? Like,
yeah,
how does helping government screw your average user over benefit you as a company? Like, I want to know how they feel that being a not so private entity of social media, and, you know, like, all this information is public. That's why we're talking about it on the show and everything, is that we want our listeners to know that, you know, that dude you're arguing with on some group, some obscure group that you're joining in Facebook, might not even be a real person. Could be a Russian, could be a fucking, could be a someone from China, could be somebody from the Pentagon. Either way, you might be being manipulated right now in some way to benefit some fucking group. And I just don't see how they benefit by users having that information. Like, isn't that going to turn people away from Facebook? You would hope, at least.
Man, all these articles and things come out. I mean, you know, in that recent Netflix documentary, like, they're constantly trying to remind people of all the crap that's going on with this social media and what people are doing. Is it stopping people from using these platforms? I don't think
so. Yeah, no, motherfuckers will go on Facebook Live to show a crack deal. They don't give a fuck. You know, and like, they don't give a fuck.
It's crazy. And it's crazy too, because all that stuff's now even more integrated into our lives. You know, like you've talked about before, I mean, your job's through there and everything. It's like, so it kind of sucks when we're in this situation where we know, like, yeah, this isn't the most secure platform. This isn't the most honest. There's a lot of things like this going on. But at the same time, what do? You know, just go dark, completely get off of social media.
I'm activating my MySpace account. Yeah. I'm going back, bro.
I'm coming, Tom.
It's time to be buds again. It's time to be buds. You know, I think I missed, I shouldn't have put this one, but we'll go from fake Facebook profiles to the John McAfee story before we go to the next one, just because I feel like this falls right into our, you know, conspiracy theories and, you know, hiding and everything. For those that don't know, John McAfee, the antivirus guy, everybody's seen that warning pop up on your computer at least fucking once. Don't act like you haven't.
Nobody ever paid for it, but somehow recently, this guy made tons of money.
just committed suicide in a prison in Spain. It was because the United States were going to extradite him. Well, this is what they say. Because the United States were going to extradite him to the U.S. prison, he vowed never to be imprisoned in the United States. So they think he killed himself in his jail cell before they could extradite him. Where it gets really murky is if you look at anything he said in the past.
Yeah, like, especially 2019.
You know, if you look at anything he said in the past, it doesn't really line up with what the actions he just took.
Yeah, I mean, it's been talking about for a long time that if anything ever happens to me, that something foul is afoot, you know, I'm not going to kill myself. And he actually even had a tattoo on his arm that said whacked.
Yeah.
You know, and that was to like signify and let people know. He said, if I'm ever found dead, that I was killed. I didn't kill myself.
Yeah, all I know is Hillary Clinton's gearing for an alibi right now. Like every famous conspiracy theorist, murderer, you know, is looking like, what me? You know, but I saw an old tweet from McAfee that said, you know, if he was ever disappeared, that like some like 32 terabytes of information would be sent out to like, yeah, we're talking like movie shit. Like,
yeah, where is this?
To me,
where
five, is all this? Five envelopes are going to be delivered to five different newspapers and blah, blah, blah. You know, I don't know. Maybe dude was eccentric. Dude was out there. Like, that's also what we know about McAfee. He's
definitely been off his rocker for a while.
Yeah. So is this him in a, you know, a final troll of his life, just trying to stir up some shit? Like, you know, because if I'm going to take myself out, yeah, I'm going to go out and leave the world a little crazier than I left it. So I can see him like just doing something like this to get the tinfoil hats running around and screaming this shit. I don't know. It's really out there, though.
It is. It is. And it's definitely, I mean, if he if he did this, it's like, is this guy going for the long con? Because, you know, for the last couple of years, he's been warning people that something like this might happen to him. And then for him to kill himself, like, so has he been planning to suicide this, like, this whole time?
Self-fulfilling prophecy, you know?
Like... Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. And regardless of what we know or think, or, you know, it's just, you got to admit, it's very interesting, and he's definitely getting a lot of attention. I mean, this happened last week, and it's all everybody's been talking about. People are still bringing it up. The crypto people.
It's Epstein 2.0.
Yeah,
like it's 2021 Epstein.
Yeah, and I think Epstein was trending on Twitter again because of this.
Yeah, like, because of this.
So, you know, it's.
Yeah, if you got some time and you want to dive down that rabbit hole, be my guest, man, because it goes deep on this one. Like, you're going to find all kinds of theories, and I ain't got time for that. I'll tell you that right now.
Like, yeah.
But I'll listen to somebody break it down for me. You want to go off on a tinfoil rant, I'll listen to it. It'd be entertaining to me. You know, another story in some tech with the government using tech to try to make society a little better. We have the Oakland police using a de-escalation simulator to try to make policing a little better. I mean, we've had, you know, over the last year, a lot of police involved incidents, and everybody wants, you know, more training and better outcomes and things like that. So Oakland's trying basically virtual reality to see if they can't make their police force a little better when it comes to these confrontational situations.
I think this is really cool. I thought it was, you know, it's cool that they're using this tech and practicing these things and trying to improve the police force and the way that they handle. But, you know, also at the same time, my dark mind I just recently rewatched one of the old Rick and Morty episodes, and it was like last season 4 on the train. They're watching a video of a scene where the train, like, police come in to get Rick and Morty, and Rick's holding a tank of, like, oxygen or something in front of him, and there's a cop with a gun or whatever, and they're like, they pause video and they're like, what did he do wrong? Because he shot and he blew up the tank, and they're like, make sure the suspect drops the tank, then shoot him so you don't cause the explosion. Like, so anyways, I'm just like thinking of some, like, you know, these de-escalation videos, like how they, you know, what they're watching, and also the commentary. Like, I would like to be a fly on the wall for a day just to like hear how they're.
Well, so it's for me, I want like one day a week, one day a month where this simulator is open to the public. Are you make like people serving customer service go through this? Cause there's a game show, I think on Netflix called One Versus 100 or The 100 or something. Like, it's kind of like a societal test where they just take 100 random people and they do all these challenges, and they base it, you know, this amount of percent, because when you have 100 people, it's really easy to do percentages. In one episode they did was like a virtual reality police stop to see if you would shoot the dude with a cell phone or shoot the dude with a gun. So you'd go through and like they'd come out of the corner and they'd hold up a cell phone or they'd hold up a gun, and you had to decide whether you were going to shoot them or you weren't. Everybody out of the 100 failed except for one person. One person, it was some young girl from Texas, and they're like, how did you pass it? And like, she didn't shoot anybody with a cell phone. Everybody else shot a motherfucker with a cell phone. Everybody. fucking everybody. And they asked the girl, you know, like, why didn't you shoot the anybody with the cell phone? And she's like, well, I grew up in Texas with my daddy and he had guns and we used to shoot all the time. And it was just how comfortable she was in those situations to where she can make a rational choice in a split second like that to not use it. But I think as we want these simulators to train the officers and be better, I think this is a good step for our law enforcement. But I also think we need better public support, you know, in how hard this simulation actually is.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think that most people just assume, oh, what are you talking about? Like, it's going to be, you know, and these simulations aren't even a real life or death situation. It's just a reaction. It's just a reaction challenge. So then you throw in the actual adrenaline and fear of losing your life and not going home to your kids. It only multiplies it tenfold. You know, so if you can't even pass the simulation as a you know, citizen, who the fuck are you to judge any of these fucking situations moving forward?
It looked crazy too, and like some of the simulation videos they were showing, they have a simulation that's like full on like a mass theater shooting, and they have people, like, you know, civilians running out of the theater, and you gotta, like, you know, you're in, the cops are there with their guns, and they're like, gotta watch out for, like, okay, you don't want to shoot just, you know, an unarmed person is trying to run away and get away from it. It's like, whoa, like, this is some crazy stuff.
Yeah, I want this like fully decked out. Like, I want the cell phone gun challenge. I want them to come around and hold up the cell phone, and then if they come around the corner and they hold up a gun and you don't shoot within like 3 seconds, like, you're wearing some vest that zaps you. Like, I want you to get tased if you make the wrong fucking decision, just so you feel that fucking pressure, you know? And like I said, I want citizens to have to go through this and open the society's eyes to, you know, how hard this job actually is. I think it's a double-edged sword for us as a society. Like, we need to recognize that the police are flawed and they need better training, but we also need to recognize at the same time that, you know, they're human, you're human. How are you, like, you know, I just feel that everybody needs to have a better perspective on these situations as a whole.
I hear you.
Way to go. Let's do it. Let's strap everybody in.
I think if you've never worked a job where you get in an us versus them environment, I'm not even talking about being a cop, but just even security. Yeah,
I was a bouncer for 10 years, bro. Like, you ain't got to tell me.
Exactly.
You ain't got to tell me. I preemptively busted a motherfucking bunch of motherfucking heads. I'll tell you that right now. I was not waiting for you to crack my fucking face open before I went home to my kids. I busted your shit first many a times.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was about to say, I for a little while, I managed a parking garage, and it was an automated facility. But, like, you know, when there was a rush to get out and then people would hold up the lines or whatever, like, we would get in those kind of chaotic us versus them situations. And it took was, like, somebody to start having problems, and then they piss other people off. And sometimes people would get pissed off at the other person, but then sometimes they would want to just lash out and be upset with us for what
anybody,
was going
on. They just want to take it on anybody.
And so I've been in some of those stressful situations. I can't even imagine, you know, being a security and then being a cop. Like, it just keeps escalating. But I'm just saying, everybody at some point in their lives should definitely experience what it's like to be in that situation.
Like, I don't have too much sympathy for cops. Like, I'm not the fuck 12 guy, but I'm also not the, you know, thin blue line guy either. I think I have a very rational perspective on this, and a lot of it does come from being security at a downtown Chicago nightclub for fucking 10 years and having to wrestle all kinds of fucking Russians drunk on fucking vodka and all kinds of hood ass gangbangers. And, like, I worked Latin nights, hip hop nights, techno nights. You throw alcohol involved, there's assholes of every genre. And man, like,
that's the other thing too, is alcohol involved.
You just want
to, like, everybody's supposed to be drinking there, so it's even more.
And I can be perfectly honest, from my perspective, I just wanted to go home safe. I just, you know, the few times I did get hurt at work and I had to go to the hospital after work one night, those are the worst fucking nights, man. Those are the worst, you know. Like,
you have to go back to work the next day too when you freaking
I went to work with 4 staples in my head. I've gone to work. The second time I got my head busted open, I didn't even go to the hospital. I had the manager super glue it, my forehead back together in the office. I was just like, we just held the fucking cut nice and tight, nice and close, and glue on it.
Was the pay good? Like, what's the, at what point do you, I mean, I don't, did you just really,
that's
like
why
the
I don't
job?
Do it. No, that's why I don't do it anymore.
I was going to say, like, at some point it's like, man, dude, it's a job. You know, we got to get paid. We got to live. I understand that, but
certain things, you know, there was a point in my life where it just didn't become worth it. And that's why I don't do it anymore. But for a long time, it was worth every goddamn penny. It was enjoyable. I did, for every nightmare story I have some really cool ones too. So I'm not going to down it too much, but But like I said, having that mentality of like, it's going to be you or me and I'm going home to my kids. Like, I get that mentality, bro. I get it. And, you know, there is the lines of engagement get really blurred when you start worrying about that. And I think everybody kind of needs to be put in that situation once or twice, just so you have a little bit of perspective on what it is to be out there.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and VR is a great way to do it. Lastly, in some tech news before we move on to some other crypto news, we have Brave trying to take on Google for some search engine prowess. Brave is a very privatized web browser. They brag about they're not collecting data, they're private, you know, their privacy issues. And they just created a search engine to go along with their web browser, and they're going to try to rival Google. They want to let people know that we're not going to be as intrusive as Google is. I know we talk a lot about how intrusive Facebook is and social media companies, but the stuff I've heard about Google as a company would scare the shit out of you too. So they want to launch a service to compete with that. They're going to be using a little bit of Bing's help at first as they build up their network. But as they get more users and more of the share, they're going to try to compete. And I mean, I think it's good. I mean, Google's got a monopoly on this for how long, and they're, you know, they're just a mammoth of a goddamn company. So we need to support the little guys that come out and try to take that from them. Like, this only benefits consumers. You know, a company like this succeeding only makes Google have to be better. So we need to kind of support these things. You know, I might, you know, like, they need a verb, you know, cause like we've called it Googling now for 20 something years. You know, I can't, like, what do I do on Brave? I Google it. You know what I'm saying? Like yeah. I'll go Google this thing on Brave.
Hey, go Google that on Brave. Yeah, exactly.
They need a verb.
I know. I just started using Brave within the last year, so I don't know why I didn't start sooner, because I've already earned, like, you know, 4 basic attention token. You earn crypto using Brave, so that's kind of a cool little incentive too.
That's insane.
Bat cryptocurrency is a pretty, you know, it's definitely been benefiting with everything else when things were coming up. So earning that while it was cheap. And then, you know, I couldn't imagine if you were using Brave before last year, you've probably made some good money just browsing the web. I don't know how, you know, we'll see how it works. I mean, I wonder if Google's success is a, you know, web for searching the web is based on the fact that it doesn't, you know, all those things that you're talking about that you don't want Brave to do. Like, maybe that's what makes Google so good though.
Yeah.
But it's also so dangerous. And Google's just been around forever.
That's the thing. It has years. They were first. They were first, man. Yep. And that goes a long way. But as generations come in, you know, because like we remember when Google first came out and you could start Googling things, there's a whole generation alive right now that doesn't remember that. And Google has just been what it was, you know. So for somebody new to come out and try to compete, I don't think it like with the younger generation, Google holds that much prowess with them to where it was like always the OG for us. I think a lot of these younger kids just look at it as the company that was there, and switching over to a new company, as long as it's a good product, I don't think it would be that big of a stretch for this TikTok generation.
They take all these things for granted, I believe. Like they're basically, I don't think they can even imagine what it was like before these things existed.
Oh, I had Encyclopedia Britannica, motherfucker. I had that shit. And like, yeah, when you wrote a paper, you didn't just get to copy links and put it at the back of your paper. Like, here are my sources. Like, no, you had to write out a whole bunch of shit, page numbers. Man, writing papers back in the day sucked balls.
I'll say too, you know, this is Nerd Cantinas, nerds, gamers. Google sometimes makes things real easy. If you want to just quickly you have a, if you're playing a game and you know, you're stuck on a certain puzzle or something, and you kind of want to like look up just how to get past maybe this little thing or get a little hint, but without seeing the whole user guide, and you don't want to spoil everything. Sometimes that little Google, like you just, you know, type in exactly like, you know, maybe the map or whatever it's going on, like these little, you can just get a little tiny snippet that'll give you just that little extra push without spoiling the whole game, you know, like, and that's something that never existed for me when I was a kid. Like if I was stuck on a game,
Nintendo Power. Yeah. I had fucking Nintendo Power subscription.
Well, that's true.
No, man. No,
those,
none of this
those guys
was...
were different though. Yeah. It was a lot different.
Yeah. Like I can't tell you how excited I was the day I got the Mike Tyson code for Mike Tyson Punch Out. And I got to skip right to the end. Like those sheets of paper were fucking gold to you when you were a fucking shorty.
Oh yeah.
But I just like the fact that, you know, they're trying to break up this monopoly that Google's had for so long. So I commend anybody looking to take on a mammoth company like Google, because it's not going to be easy for them. Google's going to make their life a living fucking hell.
I hope it does work. I'm down to give it a shot, because like I said, I already use Brave, but I've tried other things, and you know, like Bing is just, it was always too clunky, ugly, slow. I don't, something about it, it just never, and then Yahoo, same thing. It's like, I've never been able to really take anything seriously. And anytime I get a new computer or a new device, I always automatically, if it's not already set, I will set the, you know, default to Google, because I just don't even want to see those other things. Like that's how, you know, comfortable I am with Google. And it's, you know, and I agree that is dangerous though too, to give them that much of a monopoly and that much power. So I'm all for trying to give something else a chance. But
well, and you know, they talk about it all the time, you know, if you type in a search for something on Google and you type it in on Bing, you're going to get totally different results. It has nothing to do with web traffic, really. It's who paid who, how much, who's got That's the true. Ad dollars, who
it's
fits,
getting dangerous.
Who fits Google's agenda. Like there's a lot more to it than just, you know, like what local fucking hardware store that you're looking for. It's there's a lot more that goes into what pops up on your search engines than you think. So
I will say though, I think it was Bing for the longest time. I don't know if it's changed, but the only time I knew people really using Bing was a lot better for searching for porn or something. Cause one of them, Google started being weird about that, like, or blocking certain things. Like it used to be super easy to search for porn or things like that through Google. Like you'd search through videos or whatever and all these things. And then like suddenly they started kind of policing that more or withholding information. But then I remember hearing from all, you know, people like, hey, go and use Bing, and Bing's really good for doing this. That's the only thing I've ever heard of Bing being good at.
No,
basically getting around like little tiny.
Well, and that's the thing, is like, if you want to use Google, you have to go by their moral code, you know, and they're not going to show you what you want to see. I mean, if you're trying to find that two girls, one cup, like you're gonna have to take your ass to Bing. So in some crypto news moving forward, we have a really big heist by a couple South African brothers. Two South African brothers, from what I gathered from reading the story, had kind of like a wallet system, right? I mean, that's what you would essentially call it. They had their own kind of trust wallet or coin wallet that that you could just deposit your crypto into. And they created their own, you know, exchange system. They had about 3.6 billion in Bitcoin holdings on their system. And one day, just when Bitcoin was going in its, you know, bullish run, they realized how much money in Bitcoin they were storing on their network and said, you know what? I think we're just going to take this. It'd be like the manager of the bank just like being like, hey man, there's a lot of money in here. Ah, fuck it, I'm gone.
Talk about a rug pull, man. Like that's an insane rug pull. Like just not a rug pull on the exchange itself, but just fully taking people's wallets, which everybody trusted and believed these were secure places to kind of keep your money. instead of on, you know, an exchange or something like that, which is why if it's not on exchange, I mean, for the most part, it should be, you know, on a cold wallet is obviously the best, but there are some like MetaMask and Trust Wallet that have at least been around long enough. And
Coinbase has their own wallet. Like, I like using Coinbase's just because they're a publicly traded company. So they have shareholders to answer to, and they have,
they're not going anywhere.
You know, we're still very much in the wild west of crypto. I think stories like this are going to be what gets a little bit of regulation and some stability in crypto. So it's unfortunate. Definitely. It's unfortunate to see this much money and this many people being swindled in order to get to that point. But I think this also just does show a glaring light on some downfalls of a, you know, emerging monetary system. I take most of my coins there. I don't have anything really on the exchange. Everything's in a wallet, and it's pretty much one of the more popular versions that they have. If I get robbed of my crypto, I'll feel pretty salty.
Yeah. No,
Now, what I don't understand is, so I'm assuming, you know, because South Africa, you know, they were like a local South African wallet. Like, if you lived in South Africa, could you not use Coinbase? Like, is there regions that, you know, like, do you need a VPN to deposit crypto? Like, or is this people truly a global system? Like from what I would understand, crypto's global. It's a, you know, there is no, you know, so like, why aren't these people using, you know,
check it out.
That's billions of dollars of Bitcoin. You think the people that own these coins would have a little more scrutiny as to where they put their money.
It is. So obviously crypto is global, but it's not, not everybody has access to the same exchanges and the same wallets, and they are locked by region. And then there are some of these more wild, wild west, older versions in other places. But then you take the risk of landing on something like this, where basically maybe they don't require all those forms of identification. What's that called? The KYC, you know, that these, like, so Coinbase, for instance, and Binance, not only, you know, are certain regions locked out or not allowed, but also too, they require you to like scan your ID or to do or provide some of them even want to see bills and provide information.
Yeah, I've had to scan my driver's license multiple times.
Yeah. Okay. So some people don't want to do that or they don't want to do that because they wouldn't be allowed to in their country or where they're at to be able to do these things, or they're trying to avoid taxes. Who knows what? And those people will then come and use other places that are a little bit more shady or don't require those things. Well, that's how you get your
Bitcoin stuck taking them.
And like, that's how, like, so yeah. So it's,
to me, this
it's
is like some Ozark shit. This is the money launderer robbing the drug cartel. Like, you can't really feel sorry for anybody really involved then. You know what I mean? Like,
exactly. Exactly. Like, when people take risk and they use VPNs or they bother or mess with wallets or exchanges that don't require any of the KYC, like don't require any of these things, that's the risk they're taking.
It's funny that they tried to not get noticed by sending out a mass email to their Bitcoin holders saying like, hey, all this Bitcoin's gone, but don't call the cops. It's gonna be all right. Like, don't worry about it. And a few of them were smart enough to be like, no, how about I call the cops? Like, but they actually attempted that. They're just like, hey, we know that you're going to open up your wallet and be really scared because there's no coins in there, but don't worry about it. Like, just don't call the cops. It'll be all good. It'll be all good.
The other thing too was, I was in the article, it says that the agency, they can't launch a formal investigation because Bitcoin and other cryptos are not legally considered financial products. So they might have been aware of, based on where they were, this kind of like loophole too, that they could pull off something like this and then maybe even get away with it because
it's fucked
some,
up
because of some messed up loopholes and things like that, or at least give them, allow them to buy them some time to figure things out or get the hell out of Dodge.
Yeah. Either way, if you're into crypto, which I know many people are, if you're listening to this show, good chances you might have some tokens yourself. Be careful. Just do your research and know that it is a dangerous world out there right now with this stuff. We're still trying to find some stability. The ground is very shaky, and be careful with your shit.
Yeah, crypto is a circus, man. Like it's wild, and it's getting better and better, and things, you know, they're shutting down some of these bad exchanges and things like this, but at the same time, that stuff's still out there. The scammers are still out there. All this stuff is still going on. I mean, there's still, for the longest time, you watch YouTube and there's some like fake looking Vitalik or Elon Musk video saying, you know, like telling you to transfer money to this or whatever. Like, so many scams are still running all the time, and it's shady things. You got to be really careful, know what you're doing, and don't try and be sneaky or silly about it. Like, definitely do it smart.
Well, speaking of videos, we have a story that comes out of China where they are banning crypto TikTok influencers. So if you're a TikTok fan or an Instagram Reels fan, when you're scrolling through, you may see a bunch of videos of people hyping certain coins. You know, they're often paid influencers by people who run these coins. So you're not really sure as to if this, you're getting sound financial advice or paid sponsor advice. But either way, China, who just booted out 75% of the world's Bitcoin miners, are doubling down on their anti-crypto stance and saying that they're banning any ads for crypto on TikTok, which is a Chinese-based company.
Yeah, it's interesting. We'll see. I honestly don't disagree with it, but I'd like to see it be a fully, like, if you're going to do this, then be fully on top of it and make sure it's across the board, because if some people are still doing it and others aren't, it's just gonna, I don't know.
I mean, I kind of went off on a rant about this in the past, but like, I don't know. If you are dumb enough to listen to a TikTok influencer on where you should put your life savings, like, I don't feel bad for you. You know, if you trusted your neighbor and he, you know, he's a money manager and he gave you some advice and he lost all your money, like, I'd feel a little bad for you. Like, oh, you trusted the wrong dude. And yeah, you in any scenario though, where you're investing your money, you take ownership yourself. I don't care where you got your advice, how many people told you, how safe you thought it was. Ultimately, that choice was yours. And you have nobody to blame but yourself. So I kind of feel like, just fuck it, let the influencers ride. And if you fall for it, you fall for it. I mean, I've gotten the FOMO and seen a bunch of people talking about a certain coin and throwing a couple $100 at it. But I was ready to burn that couple $100 if I had to, you know what I mean? If it goes away, then whatever, you know. To me, it was like betting against the fucking Packers, the bastards. So like, I don't know. Like, I see benefits to helping society, but I also feel like it's, you know, we have all these financial shows on MSNBC and Fox Business and everything like that. There's all kinds of people given the world financial advice. Like, what makes that fucking TikToker any worse than some suit that thinks he knows how the fucking markets work and is telling you that it's a good time to buy fucking GE? You know, I don't see the difference.
That's what I guess. Yeah, like, I'd like to like go in the direction, that direction with it. Exactly, is that if this is a step towards, like, if they're banning TikTok people, but then they're also going to be like going after and quieting people from Twitter and big social media influencers anywhere from like telling people to buy things.
Wall Street Bets and
all, yeah, exactly. That if it's going to be, I want it to be equal, like across the board. That's what I meant. Not just TikTok itself, but also these other platforms, because yeah, you're right. Like, I mean, I guess technically the argument that they might make for these CNBC or TV shows, whatever, is they have these professionals and highly qualified people saying these things or whatever. But at the same time too, it's like, those are also,
they lose their fucking money too.
Well, I was gonna say, but they've also been bought. They're being bought, like they're being bought and paid for. Yeah,
their TV station has ad sponsors.
They have vested interests in these things. Like,
yeah. There's only six corporations in this country that own mostly everything. So at some point, someone's running an ad on their show that if they're telling them to sell this stock or buy this stock, it's going to hurt or benefit somebody sponsoring their fucking show. So, like, yeah, I just don't get why. You know, I get why China is doing it, but this is going to probably creep into our culture and other cultures as well. So before it creeps into our culture, I think we need to ask those questions. Like, what differentiates the TikTok influencer from, what's the dipshit bald-headed dude's name that smashes the button and yells all the time? I can't
remember. Portnoy?
No, not Portnoy. Not the pizza dude. Not the Barstool dude. The dude.
Sorry, you just said smashing. You just said
the actual the guy with a degree in it. Like,
the buy 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 sell.
Yeah.
Blood will be raining from the streets. God, why am I spacing on this? Kramer.
Yeah. So like, I just don't understand why. You know, I get Kramer's got a degree in finance and economics and stuff. Maybe
he's become meme himself these days too.
Even fucking Alan Greenspan doesn't know what the fuck he's talking about half of the time. Like, these people are fallible, you know? So I don't know why the government or anybody gets to draw the line on who's an expert and who's not. If you're right enough, you're an expert. You know what I mean? I don't give a fuck if you got a degree or not. If you make the right call enough times, you can be considered an expert too.
That's a good point, actually. That's a really slippery slope, and a great point about it is that you're right. If they start banning people for doing these things, then they're basically limiting it on who is qualified and who isn't, which then opens the door for corruption, because they could be like, well, you got to pay X amount, or you got to pay this person to be qualified to do this thing. It starts getting really dangerous. It's like, I go both ways on it. Like, on the one hand, you would like to have everybody be professionals and be qualified to be doing what they're doing. But at the same time, I mean,
well, and you don't know really like who's giving this advice. So I can equate it to my profession. So I'm a licensed electrician.
Yeah.
Right. Everybody assumes that when you're a licensed electrician, you went to school and you got like this certificate that says, you know, electric, blah, blah, blah. No, I took a test. I took one test that anybody can fucking take, you know? So like that is like the only difference between me and an electrician that doesn't have his license. There's electricians that have been doing what I do for double as long as I have that have never gotten their license, that would smoke me in electrical knowledge, but they just never took the test because they never had a job where they needed to. As long as one person on the job site has a license, everybody working under him is technically licensed too.
Oh, wow.
So as long as the head guy has a license, the 40, 50 people working under him don't need one. So does that make me the expert? Or does the 60-year-old that's working for me that doesn't have his license that I'm paying, is he the expert? If you ask anybody off the street, they're going to say it's me because I have the license. Well, no, that dude knows 10 times more than I'll ever fucking know. And, you know, he works for me. You know, it's that system where there's, I think, a misconception on what makes you an expert. And I think when it comes to the financial system, it's really just about how many right answers you got and how many wrong answers you got. I don't give a fuck what degree you got. You're not gonna, like, the market is so crazy that to say anybody's an expert in it is almost kind of asinine.
Very true. I mean, it's just, yeah, all that stuff, man. Like, I don't know. There's so many people that are not qualified that are professionals and things, and then there's people who are, you know, not professionals that should be. It's just, it's all a mess. And yeah
Yeah, but again, take personal responsibility for your own outcomes. You know, if you got crypto, if you got a life savings and you're looking to try to make a come up, do your own research, know who you should trust, know who you shouldn't trust, watch for patterns, watch for history. But take personal ownership in your own shit. Don't try to pass the buck when you become the victim. It wasn't their fault, you know? And lastly, let's move over into space. As always, we like to end this out in the stars. I'm going to switch these around too, because we like to end space with a little funny story. So first we'll start off with Starlink. We've all been anticipating Starlink. I know my co-host is, as he's driving through the woodlands in an RV with very to little or no internet connection.
He should be on that Starlink.
If he had Starlink, we might be doing a different show right now. They expect global coverage by the fall, which is kind of exciting. We knew it was getting close. We might only be a few months away from them actually having global coverage and being able to roll this thing out.
Yeah, I saw Musk recently tweeted that they hit that historical special number, you know, 69,420 or something. Like, yeah. he did some kind of like little joke tweet, you know, about them surpassing that number. So there's definitely a lot of users.
That's also the price he made of one of his Teslas.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's Elon Musk, 69 and 420. And if you can put them both together, let's go. Yeah, I know at least one person who has it. And I think it was either his download I think his upload was like better than some people who were plugged in. I was like, the fuck?
Oh yeah. It's going to be good, man. And for people like my brother and people out in rural America, this is going to be a real life game changer. So I'm really excited about this. I'm really hope this gets adopted soon. Again, people like me in the city, we have broadband, we have fiber, we have a lot of access. So I don't know what that life's like. I've always had top-notch stellar internet. But I've seen the stories of people having to go to the local McDonald's and use their Wi-Fi to do their online homework because they can't get a signal anywhere else. And like McDonald's is on and popping on a Saturday night with just people connected to their Wi-Fi because you can't get the fucking internet anywhere else. And I just couldn't imagine living like that. I couldn't imagine it. So like, I'm excited for this. I hope if you live out in those areas that you're excited for it too. And we'll see you online soon. And then our last story of the day, we mentioned last week that the Hubble telescope has gone down and needs repair. And we find out that one of the only ways to fix the Hubble telescope is to possibly turn on a computer that hasn't turned on since 2009, I think it is.
Yeah. Back when it was installed. And that's how old, that's the last time too, that astronauts have serviced the telescope as well.
When the computer was built. The computer suddenly stopped working on June 13th. So that computer built in the 1980s is like Hubble's brain. In order to get to Hubble's brain, they're going to have to boot up a computer that has not been turned on since 2009. You know, I have fears like this all the time because our nuclear missiles are ran off computers from like the 1990s.
Oh, geez.
And sometimes it makes me feel safer because like, I don't know if anybody from this generation or working on computers now even knows how to hack a computer from the 90s. Like it might be just so outdated tech that nobody knows what to do with them. We are just doomed one day for a doomsday movie scenario to happen in our country.
And it'd just be something like this too, where it just goes off and they don't know how to turn it off.
What's that Matthew Broderick movie I loved when I was a kid? War Games.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to run into a War Games scenario, you know. It's just funny that like,
you know, too,
you know, we all got that old computer in our basement that is just collecting dust, and you justify saving it because like what if there's a picture on this hard drive I need, or you know, like you just don't throw away. I'm not gonna lie, I got a stack of fucking laptops I haven't used in fucking decades because I feel like there's something on that hard drive that I'm gonna want one day. And I keep saying to myself, I'm gonna rip it out and download it onto a removable hard drive, and I just never do. And then every time I look, like I have you can see in the background, I have my entire basement packed up. I'm moving in like a month. And I found that stack of laptops, and guess what I do with them? I put them in a fucking box to bring to my next fucking house because I might need them one day.
And they're gonna sit in that box until you move again.
Until my Hubble breaks down and I turn that motherfucker on one day, and I'm glad I fucking had it, just like these assholes.
But you know, too, the thing is anything nuclear or whatever going on that has something like this happening, you know, there's not gonna be just some little Business Insider article being written about it. They're definitely going to be keeping on the DL and trying to handle that as quickly as possible.
I just picture some millennials sitting in a nuclear silo looking at a fucking toaster with wings on it, binking all over his fucking screensaver, not knowing what to do to save the world because these nuclear bombs are going off and he's trying to figure out how to navigate through Windows 95.
I bet you everything he needs to fix it or whatever is probably on floppy disks, and he doesn't even know what those things are. Like he's been using them as coasters.
He's right swiping this boob tube TV, can't figure out why the fuck it ain't working.
He's like, there's no CD drive, and it's like, no, it takes floppy. What the fuck is that?
Oh, man. But no, it's funny, man. Like these eggheads, fucking decade old computer. Let's hope it works. Let's hope we get the Hubble back up and running. Hubble's been real famous. We've gotten a lot of use out of that Hubble. It'd be sad to see it go.
Yeah, definitely.
Like we'll definitely have to do a moment of silence for the Hubble on the show if that thing goes out. It's provided a lot of information for NASA. So let's hope they can get it back online.
Yeah, I'm sure they're gonna figure it out. Hopefully.
Well, that's it for this week's nerd news. We thank everybody for coming out again. Thanks, Sean, for hanging out and filling in the spot for my brother. With that all said, do this usual dance: share, like, rate, review. Join us over at thenerdcantina.com/community. Join in on the conversations. Again, it's a fun place to be. We just hit 1,000 members. It's growing every day. It's a lot of people having a lot of good conversations, chiming in, making a lot of good points, and just general fuckery on a daily basis is at an all-time high. So I highly suggest everybody comes in and has a good time. And with that all said, we'll see you next week, guys.